Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Crossroads Podcast today, where we'll be going into part two of an absolutely fabulous two-part interview with Clay Cutts, author of the book Beyond the Bottle, but so much, much more. Clay is a licensed psychotherapist and a founder of a company called Square Peg Coaching. His signature program is called How to Thrive, and he helps you to go from what he calls grinder to thriver. Amen? Glory to God. If you missed any of the prior episode in part one, you need to go back and catch up. We were having such a tremendous interview. Well, I just don't have the time to go back and play any of the information we covered in part one. So just go back and listen to it to make sure you have all the information you need in part one. Now, though, let's jump back into the conclusion of today's great interview with Clay Cutts. When you have someone like that, that they come in, do you default to psychoanalyzing your coaching clients? I mean, pinpointing problems that they may not even know exists?
You know, I think a really good therapist and a really good coach guides someone to that realization on their own.
You recognize the issue, so you just got to make them come to the realization of it themselves, right?
When they're ready. Here's what I believe, Bob. I believe that we all have healing power within us. That's through the divine, through God, right? And we just lose touch with it. We also have this huge amount of personal power, which again is I'll talk about that a little bit too, is through our connection with whatever higher power or God that you connect with. And for me to say, here's your problem, here's what to do about it, is disempowering and is not honoring of that innate power.
True. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they just don't get it. And I got it. Like, okay, I'm just going to tell you. Right. but if I'm doing my job right and asking the right questions and creating the right sort of atmosphere, you know, eventually they'll go, hey, I just came up with something. Here's what I just figured out. I'm like, really? That's brilliant. Like, I've done that for 6 months, but that's cool.
Finally.
Well, it's not really like that. It's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, it's so cool. Like, I celebrate that because that's really, really a cool thing. And when somebody arrives at that on their own, that becomes part of their DNA, and they know that and they never forget it.
Amen. Amen. What do most people gain working with you as compared to a regular coach that's out there?
There's a lot of great coaches out there for sure. And really the match between the client and the coach is what's really, really important. I am definitely not the right coach for everybody. I think that my superpower, one of them, is being able to offer truth bombs in a loving way. You know, I'm willing to risk any relationship for truth, right? Truth is more important to me than anything. Right. And I will always, always, always tell people the truth. And some people just aren't in a place where they can accept that. And that's fine. That's not judgmental. But that means there's probably going to be some other coaches a better fit for them. Amen. Now, Amen. The reason I think generally therapists make great coaches is because we could talk about a couple of these things. But we're actually trained to. Well, just like you, there's a skill to interviewing. Right. There's a skill to asking questions. Right. And, yeah. You know, as in graduate school, we'd learn how to ask questions. Like, there were like months and months and months and months and months and books and books and books and books of training on how to ask questions in certain ways in the right way. And, you know, if somebody just says, hey, I'm a life coach, you know, out of the blue, they don't have all that training. Not to say there aren't some really good life coaches who aren't therapists. There certainly are. But for it's a professional skill that therapists have developed. And there's also the ethics piece. Like, I'm beholden to a very strict ethical code. Now, strictly speaking, when I work as a coach, I'm not beholden to that, but I still behave in that way. You know, yeah. Coaches, there's no ethics code for coaches, right?
Yeah.
And so that's some of the things that coaching clients get from me. They get like legitimately professional service, not just, You know, I'm not an amateur. This isn't a hobby for me. This is what I do all day, every day, and have for 15 years. I got a bookshelf back there. It's full of books I've read. This computer's full of videos I've watched, courses I've spent like tens of thousands of dollars on developing myself, not to mention who knows how many hours. So like that's what a client gets from me as a coach.
Amen. It's not on my list of things, but it's just something that popped in my mind. So I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When you're in a discussion with your wife and you start asking her questions, does she say, stop psychoanalyzing me?
You know what? That's exactly what she says.
I know when I try, my wife is having a issue, with whatever, and I'm asking her questions, trying to get her to realize this is the answer type thing. Because if I tell her, she'll forget it 15 minutes from now. And I just sit here thinking, because you said something that made me think about that. It says, I wonder what his wife thinks.
Yeah, actually, the word she uses is therapize. Don't you therapize me?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes she'll say something, I'll go, like that. And she'll, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, what are you going to do? She didn't do anything.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you emphasize, you've mentioned this word a couple times, so I want to focus on this. What do you mean by the term personal superpower? What is that?
Yeah. So I think we all have a superpower, right? And I think that when we connect to that, there's no stopping us, right? And you think back to kids. Think back to when if you've been around kids or grandkids, like a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, they're just fearless. They just, like, they sing in front of people and dance in front of people, and they take off their clothes and run around naked and do all, like, there's just, like, this freedom to them that gets conditioned out of us over time, right? We learn to play by the rules of society, and sometimes that's good, but sometimes it's sort of stifling. And through that process, we disconnect from our superpower. We get told, like, oh, you can't make a career of art or music. We get told that, like, you have this passion for athletics or like you can't go into the ministry. You won't make any money, right? We get told all sorts of things that just sort of like dampen our purpose. And part of what I do with people is sort of like take away chunks, move, like scrape the barnacles off and like move the obstacles out of the way, move the boulders out of the path. So very much what I do is about subtraction more than addition. Like, because you have everything you need already. What we're going to do is just sort of get rid of the stuff that's in the way. And what happens is people sort of lean into this power, these superpowers, and realize, like, wow, I'm really good at this thing. For me, it's like when I went from fixing computers and like scratching my head into the social work world, I was like, oh, you mean like there's stuff that's easy for people? This is great, right? And really, for a hit, I think of it like being in a river in a canoe, and you're in the back eddy in the channel, like the current's going that way, and it's like, all right, let's just paddle over to the current. And that's what it feels like to be in your superpower.
Amen. You also use the term seeker in your coaching business. Explain that.
Yeah, baby, I'm a seeker. and I didn't know that for a long time, and until I figured that out, I was beating the head against the wall. It goes along with the square peg kind of idea in a lot of ways. Seekers for me are people who ask existential questions. Part of their chemistry. We want to know why. We want more. We don't want to be good enough, and not in a competitive way, right? I don't want to be better than somebody else. I want to be the best that I can be. I want to be better in an existential way. Like, if you're great too, that's awesome. Good for you. I'll celebrate that too. But the problem with being a seeker is that we can get swept away from the moment. And the key is finding a balance between being okay and being content with where I am and what I have, and being truly, deeply, fundamentally grateful for all that I am and all that I have, while reaching for more and seeking for more and striving for more, right? And so that's sort of what I help people do is is to take that seeker and embrace that, embrace being a seeker, but at the same time get okay with who they are at the moment and love themselves. And the thing is, seekers don't realize that not everybody asks those kinds of questions, right? We think everybody wonders about that. There are plenty of people out there that get up and go to their job and come home and plop down in front of the television and drink their six pack and they're perfectly happy. And listen, that's not a criticism at all. In fact, I wish I had some more of that in me. I wouldn't be so worn out sometimes, you know? Amen. So that's how I think about what a seeker is.
Amen. I read that you use several different areas like philosophy, Christianity, you know, 12-step processes, all that. How do you combine all of these things into getting results for your clients?
It's an ugly process inside my brain. I'm not sure I know how to answer that. I immerse myself in this sort of stuff so much that it just sort of comes kind of naturally to me. And I think really probably the best answer to that is I'm very focused on meeting the client where they are in the moment, right? Not just in their life, but in that moment of that session. And you know, I have clients that come to me and say, religion, Christianity, my faith is very important to me. I want to integrate that. Fine. I've gotten on the floor in my therapy office and prayed with clients before. You know, I'm totally fine doing that. I've had clients that come to me and say, I don't want no Jesus talk. And I say, well, that's a shame, but okay, we can do that. That's what the client wants. That's what they need. And that's what I'm going to give them. And, you know, I just sort of pull in things on the fly as I think that they need it. And the person in front of me in the moment needs it.
Amen. Amen. You know, you had the addiction problem that you shared with us before, which is the reason you wrote your book Beyond the Bottle.
Right.
Why did you feel the need to write this book?
You know, I just, it's such a big answer because it's so important to me. I felt like for so long, that behavior, the drinking behavior and the associated mental health issues too, because I was very, very depressed, profoundly depressed for a couple of years around the time that I was quitting drinking too. And just having a conversation with somebody and just saying, like, when I was in the throes of it, I just stopped drinking and had this conversation, like, how do you get beyond this stuff, you know, beyond? And he said, like, well, he said, don't worry, you just keep hanging in there, keep asking for help, and you'll get beyond that bottle. And it just sort of stuck with me that when I wrote the book, I hadn't even thought of coaching at that point. But when I wrote the book, I was just trying to help myself and my clients get just a step beyond the bottle, just an inch beyond the bottle. Because a lot of times this healing, this wellness is an inch at a time. You know, the 12-steppers talk about one day at a time. Sometimes it's less than that. You know, sometimes it's a grind to get beyond it. And then what I realized is, like, you know what? I'm actually, you know, 15 years later, I'm still on that journey. I'm still getting beyond the bottle. I'm much further beyond it, but I'm realizing that at every level, there's more and more and more. I'm really glad I wrote that book as sort of a fundamental piece of, here's, if you're struggling, these are some basic things you can do and some basic philosophies you can adopt to move just a step or two beyond the bottle. Even if you're, you know, I've had people that with 25 years of recovery, like a good, like AA, you know, treatment center recovery, read the bottle and work with me because even those people are still working, you know, working to get further and further beyond the bottle, which is great. It's a great journey to be on.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. How many times in your life have you felt like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole? I know I've felt that way before. Sometimes I still do, bless God. But the point I want to make is this. You are okay. Amen? Clay Cutt's great book, Beyond the Bottle, goes into this process that he went through, actually about the troubles he was experiencing and how he became free from the torments of life that was holding him back. You need to get a copy of this great book. The information is down below in the show notes. And as you're hearing from this interview, Clay has a great coaching program where he can help you to succeed in life, business, and relationships, whatever it is you need. He has the skills, and he wants to help you thrive. Amen? So go down in the show notes, order your copy of this great book, and send him an email. Click around, go on his website, take a look around. You'll be blessed that you did. Now, back into the interview with Clay Cutts. Now, you had the addiction problem that you shared with us before, which is the reason you wrote your book, Beyond the Bottle.
Right.
Why did you feel the need to write this book?
You know, I just... It's such a big answer because it's so important to me. I felt like for so long, that behavior, the drinking behavior and the associated mental health issues too, because I was very, very depressed, profoundly depressed, for a couple of years around the time that I was quitting drinking too. And, just having a conversation with somebody and just saying, like, when I was in the throes of it, I just stopped drinking and had this conversation. Like, how do you get beyond this stuff, you know, beyond? And he said, don't worry, you just keep hanging in there, keep asking for help, and you'll get beyond that bottle. And it just sort of stuck with me that when I wrote the book, I hadn't even thought of coaching at that point. But when I wrote the book, I was just trying to help myself and my clients get just a step beyond the bottle, just an inch beyond the bottle. Because a lot of times this healing, this wellness is an inch at a time. You know, the 12 steppers talk about one day at a time. Sometimes it's less than that. You know, sometimes it's a grind to get beyond it. And then what I realized is, like, you know what, I'm actually, you know, 15 years later, I'm still on that journey. I'm still getting beyond the bottle. I'm much further beyond it, but I'm realizing that at every level there's more and more and more. I'm really glad I wrote that book as sort of a fundamental piece of, here's, if you're struggling, these are some basic things you can do and some basic philosophies you can adopt to move just a step or two beyond the bottle. And even if you're, you know, I've had people that with 25 years of recovery, like a good, like AA, you know, treatment center recovery, read the bottle and work with me because even those people are still working, you know, working to get further and further beyond the bottle, which is great. It's a great journey to be on.
Amen. Well, was it also therapeutic for you to write the book?
It was torture. You know, I love, I say that sort of jokingly because I love to write, and I'm an English teacher mom growing up, and like writing and reading was just sort of part of, you know, the thread of our life, and always enjoyed it. But when you put a deadline on it, it has a whole different feel to it, you know? And it's like, all right, I'm doing the calculations. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to write 3,000 words a day, every day, 7 days a week. Oh, this does not sound like fun, you know? But I'll tell you what, I learned a lot about myself for sure. I learned where my weaknesses were. I learned where there were some gaps in my knowledge. I learned where I was taking some things for granted. You know, I learned a lot of things like that I learned about myself, which was great, because I could say, all right, these are some cool things for me to sort of queue up to work on over the next few years. So in that way, it was very, very therapeutic. Yes.
Amen. Amen. I like the reference you made to struggling with alcohol or any addiction, really, is like having a baby tiger as a pet. Right? Eventually, instead of controlling the tiger, it controls you. Can you explain that a little deeper for us?
Yeah. So that's a funny analogy. I love that too. It's, you know, it's like having this, you know, when the tiger's young and he's cute and got these big eyes and he rolls around and he does these funny things. And that's sort of how the addiction is. It's like, oh, I went to the bar last night and I kind of made a fool of myself, you know, and it's sort of funny, especially when you're in your 20s or your college age or something like that. And you're sort of expected to do kind of dumb things. But then that tiger grows up, that addiction grows up. And, you know, one day you turn around, that tiger's looking at you, licking his lips and you're not play buddy anymore. You're lunch. And, you know, it's about to have you for lunch. And the same thing about the addiction, people turn around, and that's how it is for a lot of people, is it sneaks up And you know, it's fine. Then they look up one day and like, oh my goodness, it is not fine. It is far from fine. And you know, here's the fact, not to be a downer here, but substance use disorder, the diagnosis of substance use disorder colon severe from the DSM-5 is a terminal diagnosis. Mm. Nobody survives untreated addiction, 0% survival rate. I know everybody has that Uncle Joe that drank a bunch, whatever, smoked cigarettes. Like, that's the exception to the rule. And for every person like him, there's a million that die from it. And so like, this is a heart attack serious. This is life or death, literally life or death serious. And so that's where that analogy comes from. Like if you're messing around with tigers and lions and those kinds of dangerous animals, you know, bad things can happen. And you're messing around with an addiction, likewise, bad things can happen.
Like Zeke, Reed, and Roy, you know, just an example about what can happen with a baby tiger that grows up, you know.
It grows up and did some horrible damage.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, what could someone who's struggling with an addiction receive from reading your book?
You know, I think the most important thing is hope. You know, I say, you know, in one breath, this is really dangerous and people die from it. But I want to make a distinction. I said untreated addiction is lethal, but people get well every day, in church basements across the world, treatment rooms like mine, in recovery centers and rehab centers and detox centers and doctor's offices, in churches, and like all over the place, people are getting well. People are being delivered from addiction. And I hope that somebody will read my book and say, okay, this seems overwhelming. It seems really hard. But somebody's got this figured out. All I have to do is just sort of be open and listen and sort of go through some processes. And I can come out on the other side of this, not just okay, but much, much better. And I hope that hope fills it up.
Amen. Amen. What if it's the spouse of someone struggling with an addiction? Can your book give them hope and advice as well?
I think so. The one piece of advice I would give anybody whose spouse is struggling with addiction is please don't try to fix them. You're going to wear yourself out, and it's not going to work. Being married to somebody in addiction is, in my mind, from my therapy hat on for a second, that's a primary trauma. Like, it's no joke. That's, you know, in the category of, you know, being in a really bad car accident or being attacked or something like that. It's that damaging to the psyche. So yes, absolutely. I think that somebody whose spouse or a child, having a spouse that is addicted is difficult. Having a child that's addicted, having an adult child is very, very, that's addicted is very, very hard. So anybody that's in any of those situations, I think, could benefit from the book, because likewise, it gives them the hope of, like, the same thing. Like there's a way out of this. This is fixable. This isn't like some ephemeral, like cloudy voodoo thing. This is a disease that has a solution. And I think they would get hope out of it as well.
Amen. Amen. Clay, this is all so fascinating. I mean, you are truly doing a great work with this program. Thank you. I could see how your background, you know, former addiction, so you understand that aspect of life, and you're a therapist. So you can relate to people and dig in and find out, you know, what they're looking for in life. And then you develop this great coaching program to help them achieve it, basically, right? And that's just a great service you're providing. Right. If someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, get in touch with you, get more information on your coaching program, or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
The best way is just through my website, and it's super simple. It's just my name, claycutts.com. There's a button you can push, and you can get on my calendar and we can chat. There's a contact form there. If you wanted to reach out through there, I check those. And I'm, one part of being a professional is that I respond to every inquiry I get, before the end of the day, every single day. And so if you reach out to me, I 100% promise I will get back to you.
Amen. Amen. And your book, how do they order your book, Beyond the Bottle? Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. You can just go to Amazon and search for Clay Cutts, C-L-A-Y-C-U-T-T-S, or Beyond the Bottle in books. And I think it's the only thing that pops up. So it's available there. It's available in paperback and in Kindle.
Amen. Amen. I'll put all the links down below in the show notes. Folks, you know you struggle with thoughts of, is this it? I know I have. I know you have. If life on paper looks great, but you're wondering if this is it, this is all there is, if you're fulfilling your life's purpose for being on this green earth, I encourage you to reach out to Clay Cutts. Go down to the show notes, click the links to get in touch with him. You've heard about his great program, his background, and all that. I'm telling you, folks, you could be strides ahead of where you are now in just a short amount of time, but you have to take the first step. It doesn't cost anything to reach out, see if Clay's able to help you. Just click the links down below and do so today. While you're down there, in the show notes, click the link to order a copy of his book, Beyond the Bottom. This book will bless you or someone you know. I know that you know someone that needs this book. Just click the link, order your copy today. In fact, order two or three copies. Pass them out to your friends. Amen. Clay, I want to thank you for taking the time coming on the program today and sharing about your great services and all that you're offering. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a great experience. I had a ton of fun.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. From Clay Cutts and myself, this is Bob Thibodeau reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.